Lord, we want to really now be fully ready to hear, that our ears and our eyes belong to you. Lord, may your word fall into us directly, that this word would really make us fully focused on your kingdom. Give us light in your word. Thank you for the word of the kingdom. Yeah, purify us again anew this morning. Lord, we give you our hearts anew. We also pray that there would be no hardness in any of our hearts. We pray that your word can write on our hearts, that you speak through our brother, that the Spirit would really be inspired through your speaking, and that you would write on our hearts with the Spirit and not with ink. Oh, Lord. Lord, we give you anew our hearts this morning. Oh, we really pray that you would really make our hearts healthy, that you would heal us from all being dull of hearing, from all hardness, from all sickness of the heart, and write your law and your word into us this morning. We pray very concretely for enlightened eyes of the heart. Take all the veils away. Open our eyes that we would see this treasure, that we would see the pearl, that it would be so precious to us that we would leave everything else for it. Yeah, Lord, may it please you to reveal more of your kingdom to us. Lord, gain our hearts completely for your kingdom. Amen, Lord Jesus. Yeah, this morning we will continue the fellowship about the fifth and sixth parable in Matthew 13. And these two parables belong together. And the Lord, in three verses, basically said everything, just in three verses. And there is so much in these three verses. Praise the Lord for this. But it is hidden, so the Lord must open our eyes to see. The Lord really has to open our eyes. And here in the fifth parable about the hidden treasure, it says in Matthew 13:44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. Amen. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Amen. He buys that field. And this field that we see in the other is something we also see in the other parables. Like in verse 38, it says, the field is the world, the whole earth. This field is the whole earth that God created. Yeah. That also belongs to God. Praise the Lord for the earth. The earth is very precious for God. And we see here that the Lord is this person that found this treasure that was hidden. And the Lord himself was the man who found the field and hid the treasure in the field. Sorry. And through his work, he bought this field. On the outline, it says, the man that sold everything that he had to buy the field is Christ, who gave his life to redeem and possess the whole earth. This is Roman numeral 5a2. This is what the Lord also said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. God really loved the world and gave his only begotten Son. Praise the Lord that God loved the whole world. Often we're very selective in our love, and even then our love is so fallen, just as we heard. yesterday. It's very conditional. It's hypocritical. But the love of our Father is so great. He really loves the world and the whole earth. And Christ came not to just buy the treasure. He bought the whole field. And 1 John 2:2 says, He is the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but also for the whole world. The Lord really shed His blood for the whole world. He paid the price to buy this field. And not to just redeem the world, not just to give every man the opportunity to be reconciled with God, but ultimately to possess the whole earth. This earth is so important for Him, and He wants to build His kingdom here on earth. Unfortunately, though, this teaching that all Christians will someday go to heaven is very widespread. But this parable shows us something else. This treasure was not in heaven. The Lord didn't dig out this treasure and bring it with Him into the heavens, but He hid it again and bought the field. This is how precious the earth is for the Lord. He really wants to have His kingdom, and the book of Revelation shows us that He will reign for eternity and dwell for eternity with us here on earth, not in the heavens. The New Jerusalem comes down from heaven. Unfortunately, almost all believers want to go into heaven or go to heaven, but Christ bought the field. Yeah, we also have a heart to see how important the earth is for the Lord and how serious it is for the Lord that the enemy holds this whole world in his hands. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, and that's why Christ had to come to buy that field. And now He wants to build His kingdom here on earth and take it away from the enemy. So praise the Lord, He came to buy that field. And we also have to see, what is this treasure? This treasure, on the one hand, it's the saints. As He bought the field, He already saw this treasure. And even though He bought the whole field and wants to possess the whole earth, what was that gave Him joy? What did He see in all of this field? He saw the treasure. As Psalm 16 says, Amen. On the saints, as for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. In John 17, for example, He prayed and thanked the Father for those whom He had given Him and preserved for Him, except for Judas, of course. But the Lord really saw the treasure and preserved it. The disciples were also such a treasure for the Lord. And despite all their errors, their mistakes, and all their incapability, He really saw the treasure in them. And in John 17, the Lord prays not only for them, but He also prays that for all those who will believe on Him through their words. The Lord already saw this treasure in the field. He saw all those who would believe in Him, through whom He would be able to make these pearls, or these precious stones. Yeah, this treasure is the saints themselves. Exodus 19:5-6. This describes the treasure in the field. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine. All the earth is mine. The whole field. And we'll read it again in English, because the German translation is slightly different or uses different words. Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine.
Amen.
And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Amen. Did you notice anything in the English translation? Special treasure. Yeah, praise the Lord. The Lord really said to his people, they should be a special treasure to him. And I really treasure what it says here, above all people. And isn't it amazing that right after he says, for all the earth is mine? The Lord bought the whole field. But what he had in view was this special treasure, his people. And even in the time of the Old Covenant, the Lord called and called out, saved and redeemed his own people and said to them, you shall be a special treasure to me. Praise the Lord for this. It's so precious. The saints are so precious for God. They're such a treasure for him. The earth is full of peoples and nations, but still there is one people. He says to them, yeah, you should be a special people unto me. And then in the next verse, he said, not because you are the greatest people. You are the least of them all. And still, the least of all the nations is the nation that he called out for himself and was a special treasure to him. And I want to really emphasize this. It is not just the saints in a general way, but it says, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. This treasure is really God's people to whom he has made to kings and priests. This royal priesthood is such a treasure in his eyes. We really have to see this. As the Lord bought the whole field, he already saw this people full of kings and priests. And in 1 Peter 2, Peter took this and said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Out of this whole field and out of all peoples, he separated a people unto him who should be kings and priests for him. We really have to see this. Praise the Lord for this. And also Revelation 5, verse 9 and 10. It's good to read this again. Second half of verse 9. And for you were slain, the Lord paid with his blood to buy this field, and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, this is the field, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. This is really mighty. Out of all tribes, tongues, and peoples and nations, he bought with his blood a people for himself. And this royal priesthood is something he has in his heart. This is really something that lies on his heart. But this people is very hidden. And that's why in the parable also says, he found the treasure and hid it again. Of course, on the one hand, it describes how he came to this earth. And at the end of the day, the Lord himself was this treasure. And he was also hidden when he came the first time. We already read Isaiah 53. And in Isaiah 53, it shows us how hidden this treasure was before the eyes of mankind. It says that he was a branch out of He was
a root out of dry ground.
He wasn't someone who shined and shone really brightly, but he came to his own people and they did not accept him. Most of them at that time did not see who was standing before them. Most of them didn't see him, accept him. They even rejected him, hid their faces from him. It was really hidden for them. But praise the Lord, there were a few who saw who he really was. For example, Peter, he said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord answered him directly and said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You cannot see this treasure with earthly eyes, with flesh and blood. But he said, it is my Father who has revealed this to you." But praise the Lord. There were a few who did see this treasure in the Lord. Even in John 6, as the Lord did things outwardly, many were astonished, impressed, and followed him. But when he talked about the core of it all, the essence of it all, many left him. It wasn't so important for the Lord to show this treasure to every single person, and he didn't run after them and say, wait, let me explain, I want to show you the treasure. He even said to the disciples, "Do you also want to go?" Often when we have a treasure, we want to show everybody. That's how we are, just like King Hezekiah. Yeah. As the people came from Babylon or from Babel, he showed them all his treasures, and this was a big mistake. And later they came and really stole all these riches. And in the Constitution, he also says, "Do not throw the pearls before the swine." This pearl is not for everyone, but is for the seeking ones, those who really see it and who want it. Then the Father will reveal it to them. And that's why when the Lord found this treasure, he hid it again. Yeah, praise the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." And today, this treasure is very hidden in the saints. Treasure that is hidden in earthen vessels. And we are indeed out of earth. We are made of earth. We are made of dust, and we will return to dust. But in us, Christ lives. Christ lives in us, and this treasure is in us. And this is the way that the Lord works today. As we accepted the Lord, this treasure entered into us. And now he is in earthen vessels. And Paul also prayed in Ephesians 1. His prayer was that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened to see the hope of our calling. We have been called as kings and priests, but we have to see it. The Lord has to reveal it to you. And if you don't see it, then do you not only not see it, you will even be offended by it. For you who believe he is, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, it is a stone of stumbling. We can believe and we can still have much unbelief because we do not accept the word of the Lord and do not believe. And at the end, although the royal priesthood is the greatest treasure for the Lord, it is not precious for you, but it is a stone of stumbling. But it is a stone of stumbling. And as Paul prayed, he really has to enlighten the eyes of our heart that we would recognize the hope of our calling. We have to see this. And what else do we have to see? The riches of the inheritance of his saints. And this is also so important. We have to ask ourselves, what do we see when we see the saints? Do we only see the outward field? Or do we see Christ and this treasure in the saints? It is really hidden. Here at the conference, You can see the saints in an outward way. And at the end, you even get offended and you are stumbled by this and that. It's very likely. But if the Lord opens our eyes, then we will see the saints in another light. Then we would see each one of the saints as an earthen vessel in which this treasure is hidden. And the Word says we should not know one another according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And even for this, the Lord has to open our eyes. And sometimes it is really sad when we hear that this one is talking about that one, and he thinks this about that person, then our eyes are really closed. If we really see what treasure there is in each one of the saints, then you no longer have boldness to speak so quickly about somebody, to spread rumors, or to have crooked thoughts about someone else. This is all that comes out of our blindness because we don't see the saints as the Lord sees them. May the Lord really open our eyes to see the treasure in the saints, to see the riches of the inheritance in the saints. We really are living so close to the coming of the Lord, and He paid everything to redeem the saints. So why are we so quick to have thoughts against others or to be offended by somebody because they just said one little thing? And often it is very much misunderstandings. It's without reason. But it's not whether there's a reason for it or not. We have to see the treasure in the saints. We have to really see the treasure in the saints. He is very hidden even in the saints. But if the Lord opens our eyes, then we can see. And we are, Colossians 1 also says, this is the mystery that was hidden from the ages. What is this mystery? Christ in us, the hope of glory. This is such a mystery, and it was really hidden. Until today, it is very hidden. And for us, it is very hidden. We often see ourselves in an outward way. But may He really give us eyes to see. We want to see Christ in the saints. And what is Christ in us? He is the hope of glory. Christ in the saints. It's not that everything is already glorious, shining, perfect, but the Lord is in each one of us as the hope of glory. Today we are not yet perfect, and we are by no means perfect. Not yet. But we have to really see this treasure in the saints. Praise the Lord, each one of us has hope to enter into this glory, and the Lord works in us. And when the Lord comes, Second Thessalonians says, He will be admired by all the saints. Open our eyes to see the glory in all the saints. Amen. Open our eyes. 2 Thessalonians 1:10, when He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. We have to have this view for one another. The Lord, when He comes, will be admired by all the saints, or admired by all, because He is glorified in His saints. And when He comes, the kingdom will be revealed. And in Romans 8, it says the whole creation awaits the revealing of the sons of men. The whole creation waits for this until this treasure is finally revealed. But today, we already have to see this treasure. For us, this treasure should not be so hidden. We have to see it. But the Lord will not show it to everybody. If I'm at home, If I had a treasure that, if I had a safe with a huge treasure inside of great value, I wouldn't just show everybody. I wouldn't show it just anybody and everyone who is invited to my place for lunch. I would only show it to very few people. To those who would really want to see it and who have a heart for it and would be able to deal with it. The Lord will not show it to everybody. Sometimes we wonder, how can we speak to some about the kingdom and no one wants to hear, no one understands? Sometimes it's really, we wonder, how come? But the Lord even said once and prayed, Father, I praise you that you have hidden this from the wise. Maybe it's not easy to understand. Why would he praise the Father that he hid it from so many? But this is the way of God. But you have revealed it to the babes. Simple. There are those to whom the Father wants to reveal it. His mystery. And that's why we have so much fellowship about the heart. Because if we have a heart for the Lord and for his kingdom, and if our heart is pure and right before the Lord, then he can reveal to us this treasure. And we have to see this today. This treasure is, above all, the royal priesthood. And we really have to see this. The Lord is very specific. It's not the saints in general. Of course, they are very precious for the Lord. But above all, this royal priesthood, this is my special treasure. This is what he said. And that is what he has redeemed us for. And I want to have this treasure much more in my heart. And if you have this in your heart and have really seen it, then you will not just agree with the teaching of it, but you will practice it. You will live it. If you really have seen this treasure, you will practice it and live it out. Many agree with the teaching that we're kings and priests, but do we also live it? What is in my heart every day? We really have to ask ourselves this. May the Lord really reveal this treasure more to us. Yeah, may it really be so precious for us. And this treasure is really hidden today. But we are living in an age where the Lord is coming quickly and he wants to reveal this treasure and erect his kingdom. Lord, give us such a heart to really see this treasure hidden in the field. And then he talks about the pearl of great price. And the pearl is not in the field, it is in the sea. The ocean or the sea is also a picture of the world, but the corrupt world. So the Lord didn't buy the whole sea. But at the end of the Bible, there's a new heaven and a new earth, but the sea is no longer there. Praise the Lord for this. And if we see how corrupt the world is today, and it is being revealed more and more how corrupt this world is, it is really through and through corrupt. And praise the Lord, there will be no more sea at the end. But this pearl is in an oyster. Today we still live in this world. We are still here. And here, this time he is not just a man, he is a merchant who went and sold all that he had to buy this one pearl of great price. And this pearl shows us the glory and the beauty of the church, the bride. The treasures are more the individuals, but the pearl is this cooperative. Ephesians 5, starting from verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. The Lord really sold everything to gain the church. In Acts 20, the church whom he redeemed with his own blood, purchased with his own blood, through his blood, he did not just redeem mankind, but he purchased the church. And that's why the word says, you have been bought at a high price. The Lord really paid a high price to purchase the church. He gave himself for the church. And verse 26, that he may sanctify them, having cleansed them by the washing of the water in the word, that he may present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Amen. The Lord really bought this pearl. But he didn't just purchase the church one time and then it was done. But after he purchased them, he wants to sanctify his church. He wants to cleanse her. Why? Because he wants to have a glorious church. He doesn't want to have just any church. And look at this merchant. He was looking for a nice pearl, but he wasn't satisfied with just any pearl. It says here, as he saw, found one pearl of great price. He only sold everything that he had to buy the pearl when he found the pearl of great price. The Lord is not satisfied with anything less than the best. It's a pearl of great price. It's a very valuable pearl. And the Lord really searched for this, and today he is still seeking beautiful pearls. There are so many churches today, but the Lord doesn't want just any church. Maybe we are already satisfied with being the church, but the Lord wants a glorious church. And for the Lord, to be glorious is a pretty high thing. Yeah, without spot or wrinkle, that is pretty glorious. That is even perfect. And the Lord is now here to bring forth this glorious pearl. And at the end of the book of Revelation, I treasured this verse anew, where the angel comes to John and says, come, let me show you the bride. When the bride is perfected in her beauty and in her glory, then it is really something very glorious and precious. The angel showed John the bride, the New Jerusalem. And there it says, she had the glory of God. Amen. The Lord will really gain this pearl and get this pearl. The question is, will we be part of it? Will we be part of this pearl that the Lord is preparing now? Or are we satisfied with much less? It depends on what we want. The Lord wants the best. But if I am someone who's satisfied with just a little, and satisfied with that which I have gained of Christ already, then I cannot be part of this pearl. We need this to be poor in spirit constantly and to be pure in heart and to say, Lord, I want more, and not just me individually, but as your church, make us to this precious pearl. We really need this vision, and that's why this pearl is also very hidden. If you're in the ocean, it's very big, and then somewhere there's an oyster, and in the oyster, in a very hidden way, there is a pearl. A pearl comes to being. If you're not someone who dives for pearls, you will not see it. But praise the Lord, there's a merchant who sought and he found. The Lord wants to have the best, a glorious church that fully corresponds to him. And we have to have this vision today. We are the bride of the Lord. But the bride is not just the bride. The bride has to prepare herself. The bride has to prepare herself. And in Revelation 19, it says the wife has made herself ready. The bride has made herself ready. And if we see how a pearl comes about through an oyster, I looked at it, read an article, and it was described. It takes multiple years, 2 to 5 years, and with some pearls it takes even longer until a valuable pearl comes to being. And all the pearls that are developed in oysters, there are really very few among them all that are valuable. Most of the pearls are a little crooked, have a lot of corners. But the ones that are especially valuable are the ones that are round. And the really valuable ones are the ones that shine. They're almost transparent and translucent, and they reflect light. And such pearls are extremely expensive. In the Philippines, one found one and paid $80 million. Sold it for $80 million because it was so valuable. That's why it says a pearl of great price. That's a really expensive pearl. Yeah, even. And the person must have been very happy to be able to sell it for $80 million. But how much happier will the Lord be when he gets this pearl of great price? But pearls do not come into being that quickly. They come about when something foreign comes in and damages or harms the oyster, and then there is a secretion that comes out, and the secretion will go around this foreign object and go around it more and more after many years, and after a while there is nothing left of this foreign object, but this secretion of the oyster is what brings the pearl into being. This shows Christ was also hurt. He was also pierced, but from his side blood and water flowed. The Lord is like this oyster that really was, that let out this secretion. And this being hurt by this foreign object shows that we need suffering. The pearl shows salvation and shows the transformation of our soul, but this doesn't just happen like that. It needs suffering and trials. It needs this damage or this injury from outside. And not just trials and sufferings, but we need the supply of the Holy Spirit. This was also in the article that I read. The foreign object is the trigger, but what brings the pearl into being is the secretion. Suffering in and of itself does not save our soul. Some people even get really bitter through sufferings. If you only have sufferings without the supply of the Holy Spirit, without the Lord in you, to whom you come in all sufferings, then no pearl would come about. And your heart will even be harder than it was before. That's why the sufferings go together with the Holy Spirit. He even says, I know that all these sufferings will work out for my salvation through the prayer and through the rich supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We need this rich supply. This is how the pearl will emerge. You have to stay in the oyster. It's very important. Imagine that this pearl would come out of the oyster after 5 days. And then the pearl will be swimming around in the sea. Then you really will be completely lost. The pearl is in the sea. but she is, or it is, not directly in the sea, but in the oyster. These days I read John 17 again, and it really spoke to me how the Lord speaks there. It says they are in the world, but not of the world. Today we are in the world, and we are surrounded by all this corruption. But praise the Lord, we are not of the world. We are in the oyster. And the Lord said, Father, I do not pray that you take them out of the world. It was not his way to take us out of the world. We would much rather just leave, be raptured, gone. But the Lord said, no, I'm going to leave them in the world. But then he also prays that they would be one. Not just among one another and with one another, but first and foremost, just as he is one with the Father, one in him. I really thank the Lord that we can be in this oyster. And the Lord knows that we need all the problems in this world to be transformed. And he also wants us to shine, Philippians 2 says, to shine in this perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. If we're not here anymore, who would shine? This whole dark world in whom we live, who would shine if we weren't here, if we weren't here being prepared in the oyster to be pearls? But we are still in the world. But stay in the oyster. Don't jump out. Don't jump out before the time has come. And may we really use the sufferings that will come anyway. You don't have to look for them. They will come. But when they come, let us really cling to the Lord, to remain in him and abide in him. It is so precious. This anointing that brings forth the pearl, this anointing teaches us to abide in him. The Spirit always tells us, stay in Christ, abide in him, even if it gets hot, even if it's very difficult, even when you sometimes no longer want to and you just want to give up. Praise the Lord for the anointing within us that always says, abide in me, let me make you into a pearl. Praise the Lord for the anointing. And not just in 1 John 2:27 does the anointing tell us to abide in him, but verse 28 is also wonderful. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we abide in him today, then this pearl of great price can emerge, and we will no longer be ashamed before him at his coming. This is our preparation for the coming of the Lord, that we stay in the oyster and we let the Lord perfect his work within us. And in the New Jerusalem, we also see each of the 12 gates is one pearl. Amen. This also shows that the Lord, as the one who is fully able to save us, he is the one who can save us to the uttermost. Yeah. He is the door. He is the gate. Every gate is one pearl. That means the Lord was able to accomplish, finish his work of salvation through the church. And this is really what we want to make it in the Lord. Many started well, but at some point they jumped out of the oyster. But let us stay in him until he comes, so that this wonderful pearl would arise and emerge. Praise the Lord for the church, his bride. And then as point C says, what do we see today? The Lord sold everything to buy the treasure in the field and sold everything to buy this pearl of great price. But What's it with us? How is it with me? In Matthew 19, it shows that it's not just about the Lord who did this. But in Matthew 19, this young man came to the Lord. This person did have a heart for the God, and he wanted to be righteous. And he said, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And afterwards he says, "Keep the commandments." And he said, "Yeah, I've done this all." What does the Lord tell him in verse 21? Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect," and the Lord really does want to perfect us. This is what we see with the pearl. He wants us to be perfect as the Father is perfect. What do you need to do for that? Go sell what you have, all that you have, and give to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. The Lord is not satisfied with having the Lord paying the price. He's looking for men who will also be willing to sell everything to follow him. Unfortunately, though, it says in 21, "But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." And Jesus said to his disciples, "It is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." If we don't see this treasure and this pearl, we will be very sorrowful when the Lord tells us, sell everything. But there are also positive examples. Philippians 3. Philippians 3, 7 and 8. "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." Paul really saw this treasure, the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. As the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus, he really saw this treasure. And do you know, this man could have had a lot. He could have been the leading person in all of the Jewish nation. He could have had a lot of a high reputation, could have had a lot of earthly treasures. But because he saw this treasure, because he saw this precious kingdom, he left everything. He said, "I counted all things loss." And he even says, "I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Praise the Lord. It really shows us this is possible, but it depends on what you see. If you only see the requirements and the price that you have to pay, then you will be like this young man who was very sorrowful and went away, that didn't want to separate himself from all of his possessions. But if the Lord can open our eyes like he did for Paul, and we see how precious the kingdom is, how precious it is that he is doing this among us, then we will willingly sell everything. No one will have to tell you, "Hey, you have to sell everything." You will willingly, voluntarily sell everything to follow him. Like Paul, he said, he really counted all things as rubbish. Maybe it's crazy for some people, but it was so, and because he cannot separate himself from all his possessions, but another person will count them as rubbish. It depends on what we see. And if we don't see enough of it, and if we notice that my heart is hanging and clinging to certain things, then let us come to the Lord and give our hearts to him and tell him, "Lord, heal my heart." Last night we really received wonderful encouragement for this, to give the Lord our hearts in a very specific way, our conscience, our mind, emotion, and will, and say, "Lord, heal me. Heal me where I still cling to certain possessions. Lord, I want to sell everything to follow you. It is so important." And Paul really gained the crown at the end. We have to pay a price, but it is not comparable to anything that we would gain. This kingdom is so precious, and this pearl that he wants is so precious, it's worth selling everything for it. So praise the Lord for the Feast of Tabernacles. He gave us a feast, and it is the seventh feast, a feast which can bring us into the kingdom. It's a feast for the end times that will help us sell everything. And you know, saints, what is the best practice? Best practice is week after week preparing the offerings. Because through this, we learn not only to sell everything and to consecrate something to the Lord, but we learn to prepare the best thing for the Father. We will not go through all of these things. It's just to give you some sort of direction. And we gave a few verses for each offering, especially for those who might not have had so much dealings with this word. But we have to see, if we learn to bring the Father the best week after week, the best of that which we have gained of Christ, is that not a good preparation? You know, God also knows that we cannot from one day to the next leave everything and give God best and do this our entire life. He knows this. He knows it's not possible. But it goes step by step, week after week. And that's why this treasure is really this priesthood that is so precious for God. And through the offerings, through the true worship, we can exercise to bring the Father the best. The pearl shows that the Lord wants the best, but now we also have to learn to give God the best. Praise the Lord. And that's why the way is really the carrying out, the practicing of the priesthood and the offering up of the spiritual sacrifices, because he said, you should bring the first fruits of your harvest into my house. I am really convinced if we practice this week after week and day by day to say, Father, I want to prepare the best for you. I want to bring you the best. I am not satisfied with anything less. I want to gain Christ fully. If we practice this every week and every day, then I am sure that this pearl would emerge. And we see more and more that it is worth everything to sell everything and give the Lord our best. So may we really give the Lord our hearts and ask him that he would open our eyes more to see the treasure in this field, to see this precious pearl. This was my main prayer before this conference. Lord, open our eyes. Lord, take our hearts fully captive that we would sell everything to gain this kingdom. Amen.